This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 26, episode 1438. This episode is brought to you by Shake and Fork and Flex and Fork. Good morning, horse world.
I am a manly man who lives a manly life in my manly house with my manly wife.
And now, from the Man Cave at the Horse Radio Network, the monthly Horse Husbands episode starring Timothy Harfield of HorseHubby.com and America's Horse Husband, Glenn the Geek. This one is for you guys. No horse women allowed.
Well, good morning, everybody. We had a bit of a last-minute change of plans for today's show. We had a roundtable plan for you, but Timothy had something come up at the last minute for work, and one of our guests' wife ended up in the hospital with complications to a surgery. Our thoughts and prayers are with them for a speedy recovery. So today we have a revisit for you of the Horse Husbands episode we did on Stable Scoop 6 years ago in February of 2010. This was on the Stable Scoop radio show, and it featured Holly Bennett, the inventor Holly Bennett's husband, Jamal Awad, and Julie Goodnight's husband, Rich Moorhead. I think you're going to like this one. But first, you know, we love our equity forks here at the Horse Radio Network and at Hit'em, and we play sound bites of other listeners who agree too. Did you know that horse industry professionals like Stacy Westfall and Bob Avila also speak highly of them? All of these testimonials are unsolicited and unpaid. When professionals find something they like, it is only natural they want to spread the good word. What makes equity forks different is the built-in suspension on the flexen fork and the auto-sifting feature on the shaken fork. Combined with nearly indestructible tines, these make equity forks an indispensable part of any operation, from backyard to boarding facility. If you've been considering, this is very important now, if you've been considering purchasing an equity fork and you've been putting it off, then there's no better time to buy. In June, UPS will be adding a surcharge to all longer packages, and this could make the cost of shipping a fork much higher. If you're thinking about buying your first fork or adding another to your barn or trailer, now is the time. And don't forget, right now, if you buy three, the shipping is free. 5-star reviews, positive testimonials, and free shipping should make you feel confident that you're getting the best deal. Order your equity forks today and beat the possible UPS price increase. That's in June, beginning of June, so get it in now. Visit shakenfork.com for more information and order. That's shakenfork.com for more information. Jamie and I will be back live tomorrow, so get your really bad ads in to Jennifer at Horse RadioNetwork.com. Now, on with the show.
Cause it's time again for Stable Scoop. Stable Scoop. Stable Scoop. Stable Scoop.
This is Glenn the Geek, and I have been a horse husband for over 22 years.
This is Rick Bergeron, and I've been a horse husband for 16 years.
This is Jamal Allen, and I've been a horse husband for a little close to 2 years now.
This is Rich Moorhead, and I've been a horse husband for 10 years, but we've been together for 17, so I guess that was something else other than a husband. But
you were a sucker horsey at that point, I think.
Yes.
Well, welcome everybody to the Stable Scoop Radio Show. As you can tell, this is a little bit different episode than we normally do. Helena has the night off tonight. We figured that she didn't really qualify as a horse husband. She'll be back next week with the Desperate Horse Wives episode, where the wives will be here chatting about how terrible we are. But tonight we get our shot to talk about them. And as I mentioned to the guys here, last year, the Horse Husbands episode was the most downloaded episode that we did
ahead of all 400 episodes on the Horse Radio Network. So welcome. You'll be heard by listeners in about 37 countries, actually. And it's just a lot of fun. We did the Valentine's episode last week, which is all sappy and lovey and all that stuff. And then we thought, you know, every year we'd go from the sappy and the lovey to just downright brutality the next 2 weeks, where we just bust on each other. So, and you know, as horse husbands, we have a lot to talk about, and we never get to really sit around and talk to each other about all the things that we go through as horse husbands. So that's what this episode is all about. We did one last year. It was episode 27, if you want to go back and listen to that one as well. First, I'd like to introduce everybody. Rick Bergeron has been a friend for a while, comes up here to Lexington. You married into the horse thing, didn't you, Rick?
Yes, I absolutely did. I had no idea what I was getting into.
Yeah, and you still wish you didn't, huh?
Oh, I don't know about that. It has its up and downs.
Now, your wife runs a farm called Right Lead Equestrian Center, correct?
That is correct.
And you're where?
We're located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
That's a nice place to be. Now,
it depends on what time of year, but right now it sort of is.
Yeah, a little hot and buggy in the summertime.
Yes, it can be.
Now, what kind of horses, what's she do with the horses there?
Well, my wife is mainly an eventer. She travels usually throughout the Gulf Coast region competing. She does also can do some therapeutic riding. She was at one point a NARA certified instructor. She teaches some basic dressage, some pony club beginner stuff. She's actually starting to get into a little bit of judging here and there, and just a little bit of everything. You know, we're sort of working at a beginner to medium level, I guess, if you will. We're just trying to grow the sport here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, as much as we can.
So now you're do you ride and stuff now, or have you really gotten into it, or what kind of horse husband are you?
I've got the breeches, I've got the boots, and I only ride when I'm forced to ride.
So she forced you to buy the breeches too?
Well, actually, she bought them for me.
Yeah, I figured. Yeah, we don't usually buy breeches for ourselves but voluntarily, anyway.
Well, I won't say I don't look good in them, but I just don't ride that often.
All right, Jamal, you are you're actually the husband of a successful eventer out of Canada, right?
Yes, sir.
And you've been married only 2 years. You're like a puppy here.
Yes. I mean, we were dating prior to that, obviously, but yes, I am the youngster here in the crowd when it comes to marriage. So
now, we met down in Florida. We had a great time at the Succeed event down there in Florida about Christmas time, I think it was. And that's where we met. And I said to you then, I said, I just have to have you on the show because you guys are a great couple. Now, were you a horse person before you met her?
No, I wasn't. I really didn't know that much about horses. So it was an experience, you know, seeing all of her horses, what she, you know, has to do every day, try and get everything down, and it's still a work in progress right now. So,
well, we should mention who we're talking about, and that's Holly Bennett, the international eventer, who has done very well up there in Canada and is a super nice person too. And she just got to do something very exciting. Tell us about it.
She was just recently a torchbearer in the Winter Olympics, so it's pretty exciting to see her represent her country in that way, and have the crowds cheer her on. So I really enjoyed seeing that, and such a joy for her.
That's like a once-in-a-lifetime thrill.
Absolutely. It's been a lifelong dream for her to do that. She, you know, she entered a competition probably in the 80s to try and do it. She was the runner-up, so she just fell a little short of that. He's disappointed, but never gave up on the dream, so I'm just glad she was able to fulfill that.
Now, is she shooting for the next Olympics? Is that a goal?
Yes, that's a goal. So far, she's been, of course, riding a lot of horses, but you know, her main horse is Gin and Juice, Virginia, as she likes to call her. And yeah, so that's the way it's looking so far, but keep our fingers crossed. So.
Now, has she brought you over to the dark side? Are you riding too?
Well, funny you mentioned that. I thought I was pretty experienced. You know, I've been on a couple of those tours, the horse riding events, and you know, I got on her her horse that she went to the 2004 Olympics with Livingston, or Hank, as he's known by, and you know, that was a big mistake. You know, I should have you know, let her give me a couple lessons, but I got on, and you know, I thought you'd be able to hold the reins, like, you know, like that's where you get your leverage. Oh no. Squeezed my legs together, and Hank just took off, and he said I needed a lot of ice that night. she was still laughing at me. You know, she's laughing at me when it was happening, and then, of course, later on, she'd still snicker. You know, but, yeah, it was my first and probably close to last, you know, riding experience there, so we'll see if she can convince me.
And we have with us also Rich Moorhead, who is the husband of a very popular person here on the Horse Radio Network, has been on several of our shows, and that's Julie Goodnight. Welcome, Rich.
Yeah, good to talk to you guys.
Now, you're actually involved in the ski world, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I run a small ski area in Colorado called Monarch, so that's what I do best. Certainly a lot better than I ride.
Well, how long have you and Julie been together? You said 17 years?
Yeah, it's been about 17 years. I've lost count. It's been so good, you know, that you know, time flies when you're having fun.
You know, if Julie doesn't listen to this show, she's going to have Heidi listen to it for her.
I know, Heidi. Yeah, I'm going to be in trouble one way or another. It's going to leak out.
Now, tell us, were you a horse person at all before?
Well, I've done a little bit, but not much, you know. I mean, just enough to kind of hurt myself a couple times, but I've managed to hurt myself more recently. So, no, actually, I've been riding recently, probably about pretty hard for the last 6 years. So I gave up my golf game and took to horses. So I've been having fun with it, actually.
You trail riding? Is that what you're doing?
No, I've been doing, versatility ranch horse event, so I kind of like playing with those cows.
Oh, cool. Well, that's neat. Well, you know, we should mention that Julie is obviously an international clinician. She's very popular. She has her show on RFD, right?
Right. She's on RFD for, I think, 3 years now.
Horse Master with Julie Goodnight.
Right.
Did I get the name right?
Yeah, it's Horse Master and Husband Master. No, Horse Master is the name of the show.
Well, and she does a great job, and she's been a wonderful guest here on the Horse Radio Network. We've had her on several of the shows, and she's very popular in the United States and internationally, and I just appreciate all you guys being on. We're just going to have a little fun tonight talking about what it's like to be a horse husband, and it sounds like we're all in about the same boat. I don't ride. I actually drive carriages, but I got into it. I was also I didn't know anything about horses. I grew up in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, where the Amish are. And the only thing I knew is they got in our way on the roads and we kept having to pass them and it was a pain in the butt. That's pretty much what I knew about horses. And then I met my wife, who was an eventer, and got thrown when you're as Jamal will attest to, when you're an eventer's husband, you get thrown into it full force because you got to walk cross country courses. You got all these different things they have to plan for. You know, and they have to train for three different events, and it just is more immersive than a lot of the other disciplines. Wouldn't you agree with that, Jamal?
Oh, absolutely. I really didn't know what I was getting myself into, and if you'd ask me again, I probably wouldn't. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'd do it all over again. You know, it's a lot like being in the military, you know, because your spouse is pretty much gone about 10 months out of the year, even though she's there. I mean, but for the most part, it's focusing on riding and everything associated with that. So, I get a kick out of it, but, you know, it's a bit tough sometimes, like I said, because, you know, going and going for that long time and then only having about 2 months out of the year to relax, and even then that's not exclusive, you know. It is what it is.
Yeah, get used to it. You've only been doing it for 2 years. You should be in Rich's shoes. I know Julie's gone about, 40 weeks of the year, too.
Yeah, she does about 40 weeks of travel a year, so, you know, her toughest thing is, or my toughest thing is her getting used to me when she gets back.
She's had those hotel rooms to herself all the time.
Yeah.
You know, we have.
I guess so.
It's, well, we hope anyway. there's strike one.
I know. I'm in trouble already.
You're going to be sleeping in the hotel room here soon.
Yeah, right. That's what the man cave was for.
Hey, guys, I have a poem. We read a poem last year, and I found another one. I want to read. This will take a couple minutes. It's called Horse Husbands by Harold Roy Miller. And I just think that you're all going to relate to this, and all the horse husbands out there will as well. So I want to take a minute and just read it. It says, to all you horse husbands who have equine-loving wives, whose horses are the centers of your darling daily lives. I sympathize with you men. I know exactly how you feel, because I also have to endure this exasperating ordeal. You probably are the guy who bought the fences and the stalls, and the one who built the corrals and put up the horse shed walls. More than likely, it was your cash that paid for the horses you both own, but women have selective memories about this, a fact that is well known. The minute that you enter their equine-oriented domain, you instantly become a non-entity without any say or opinion. They will also chastise you severely if you fail to follow orders when it comes to taking care of their precious four-hoofed boarders. They'll tell you how to mount your horse and how to position your feet, the proper way to hold the reins and sit the saddle seat, the way to brush and halter, and other things they think you forgot, and you'll get a lesson in horses' nutrition whether you want it or not. It doesn't matter if you're a racetrack jockey or a famous rodeo star. Somehow your equine skills never quite measure up to par. They live in their focused world of horses where women run the show, and any male with laid-back attitude interrupts the natural flow. They expect a guy to cowboy up and, oh, they can scold if he doesn't take care or ride or clean stalls in the Arctic cold. They don't tolerate insubordination. They want to make sure you understand, though you may be the king of your castle, in the corrals, you're a hired hand. Now a wise man will act like he heard every word his sweetheart has said and not stand there fuming with anger or with a question mark over his head. A smart man won't growl or groan, making her sulky and downhearted. They'll just give her a kiss and say, okay, honey, then do it the way they started. And that got me in trouble many, many times because I would listen to what she said and then I'd do it my way anyway. And you're in bigger trouble then. Yep. Wouldn't you agree?
You're still going to get it.
Yes, exactly. No, and we've all done it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Now, you're in a different situation there, Rich. You got an international clinician who is out teaching people all about natural horsemanship and things. Do you ever do it right?
Well, you know, I try to, but you know, if I don't, then you know, I get this look, and boy, you know, you don't want to get that look. You know, she's really patient with everybody else, but somehow I get pushed a little bit harder.
Well, you know, they say you shouldn't take lessons from your wife too. I tried that, and it failed miserably.
I've done it once.
Did you? It failed miserably, didn't it, Rick?
Well, it's one of those things that I figured I'm never really going to spend enough time to be good at it, so I might as well just not even get into it. I'm good enough being in the background with grooming and getting all the students and the kids set up and the photography and the cooking of the jambalaya or whatever else needs to get done.
And we've heard good stories about your jambalaya, Rick.
I'll have to bring the pot up there one time.
Yeah, right? You're going to have to. We're hearing stories, but I haven't ever got to taste it. Now, Jamal, you're an international eventer's husband. Are you a forced groom, or do you have to do the grooming duties a lot?
I do it as much as I can, but mostly her groom Italia's there. But no, I'm pretty much one of the lucky ones because I'm a certified massage therapist, so most of the time I work on her or her horses. So that's my designated duty or default duty, for lack of a better term.
Well, if you're going to have a duty, that's a darn nice one to have, by the way.
Yeah, there's really no complaints, you know, in that department. So I'm
Jeez. Pretty lucky I have something at least to fall back on.
We all did it wrong. We should have taken lessons from Jamal.
Yeah, exactly.
No kidding.
Now, does Julie ski? I got to ask you that. Does Julie ski,
yeah,
Rich?
Yeah, that's actually, we actually met at the ski area, and she's actually a really good skier. In fact, we just got back from heli skiing outside of Telluride. So, yeah, she can get around. She's pretty good.
Wow. Well, that's kind of neat. Yeah. That's kind of neat, yeah, because that doesn't happen too often where your horse wife actually has another hobby that they do and enjoy.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I figured I'd go ahead and try to ride. And one of her great lines is, be careful what you wish for, because sometimes she gets home from a clinic or something and I'll be wanting to go to, you know, some kind of versatility ranch horse competition, which of course she goes to and cleans my clock, but she acts like she's too tired. It really pisses me off though. I work so hard at it and she just goes in and tears me up.
You could probably still take her on the slopes, though.
What's that?
You can probably still take her on the slopes, though.
Yeah, yeah, I can. I hang with her, but you know, she's actually pretty good.
You know, we have to remember that they are athletes, you know, so, and unfortunately they can, you know, it's so funny because I always said I married a woman that was stronger than me. And that's pretty much true.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rick.
I was saying you definitely have better balance.
Oh, now, Jamal, do you have hobbies outside of horses?
So I'm polar opposite ends here, but I like shooting weapons. I was a Marine before, so pretty good at that. And I like coin collecting. None of you, you know, make fun of that, because remember the first hobby that I liked.
I was just going to say something, and then I actually thought about the first hobby. Hey, Jamal, I got to say, too, you did some announcing down in Florida when we were there, and you did a great job. You're a good announcer.
Well, thanks. It was a really good time. It was really for a great cause. I was just happy that was, you know, part of that. So look forward to doing that again if I'm invited. So.
Well, you did a nice job. So let's talk a little bit about, got some questions for you guys. And we'll just, a couple of them, I just want to take one at a time here. So Rick, what's the hardest part of being a horse husband?
No downtime. That's one of the things. Pretty much when you are a horse husband, you live it 24 hours a day. There's always something that needs to be done. And typically it's stuff at the farm, you know, kind of like I mentioned, you know, the farm here, we've got, a little bit over a dozen students, about 10 horses, and the wife and I pretty much take care of everything out there. So there's fences to mend, there's horses that need to have, attitude adjustments, there's students that need attitude adjustments sometimes. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's really a rewarding thing. You know, you get to see the interaction between the horses and the students. And, you know, sometimes you bring home the ribbon, sometimes you don't. But everybody does their best, and they always try to do a little bit better next time.
How about you, Rich?
You know, I could almost ditto that. You know, we don't have a facility quite like Rick's, but... But, you know, there's always fence. There's always, you know, horses manage to break anything. I don't know. I don't care if it's made out of steel, you know.
Yes.
It just breaks and they break it. So, you know, I spend my off time just trying to keep everything working and, you know, keep the manure spreader going and, you know, keep fences up and, you know, there's just a lot of upkeep. So I think that's pretty tough. And you know, of course, you know, she's out on the road, so she comes back home, you know, because I've been, you know, doing something fun all that time.
Well, you know, Rich, I got to say that you talked about manure spreaders. How many of us have fixed the chain in the manure spreader in the winter when the sucker is frozen solid, or the thing is, it's always full when it breaks, and you have to empty it by hand, and then you have to try and fix the chain, and it's just frozen and miserable, and you're cussing and swearing the whole time. I've done that several times.
Come on down to Louisiana, Glenn. We don't have that problem.
Yeah, right. At least it's soft there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But we've all done, and how many times, too, have we all walked colicky horses at 2 in the morning?
Oh, yeah. When you're covered from head to toe with mineral oil.
Exactly. And it's always on the night you're going out. The one night you want to go out, you have something planned and the horse colics every single time.
As long as you don't have to put on the big glove, you're okay.
Jamal, you've been only 2 years here doing this. What's the hardest part for you?
Mostly, like I said, it's the amount of time that you're apart, you know, because, yeah, I really like, I mean, yes, we're married and everything, and I'm probably going to get some grounding points, because I really mean it. I really enjoy spending time around her, but, you know, she's, they're going for her goals and trying to accomplish going back to the Olympics in 2012, so it's, I'd say that's the main thing, you know, trying to find time to, that common time to, you know, really enjoy each other, so. But,
okay,
that's it.
Okay. Well, all right. Now, what's the best part of being a horse husband, Rick?
Ooh, I kind of answered that almost with
I think you
part.
Did, actually. I think you kind of did.
Kill two birds with one stone. I'm an environmental manager at a large industrial facility, so in most of the time during the day, I'm sitting behind a desk and really working my brain. And at the end of the day, you know, it's kind of good to get out at the farm every now and then and actually work your body a little bit. Do some physical activity, whether it be working with the horses or mending the fences or sitting on the tractor for several hours just trying to get the grass cut. You know, it's kind of nice to get out there and be out in the open.
You know, there were days I actually enjoyed cleaning the stalls just for that reason, because it's mindless.
Yeah.
And you could just get away. You're like getting away from the world and you're just doing your thing. And I didn't mind it all that much on some days. And then there were other days.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
How about you, Rich?
Well, I think the best part is, you know, getting introduced to horses and then, you know, just trying to get better at it and having someone there that really, honestly, she is a great teacher. So she's taken me a long ways in a short time. So, and then when we go to, you know, competition together, you know, it's really fun to have her there because she kind of coaches me along the whole thing. So, and you know, I just like to be around horses. You know, not having been around them that much before, that you know, they're cool animals, and it's just a lot of fun to do that stuff. Granted, it's a lot of work. It's, you know, but you know, most time is worth it.
And Jamal?
I'd say it's going to the events and taking part in the camaraderie. There aren't too many sports that I've seen, at least, where your competition, you actually work together when you go on the course. Hey, you know, this turn or this jump right here, make sure you take it like this or that. I find that pretty weird, you know. It's usually you're trying to undermine your competition. But in the equestrian world, it's... seem to be a higher code of ethics. I may be displaced in that, but you know, that's what I've seen.
Well, you
I really
know,
like that.
I think you're right, Jamal, and that's especially true in eventing. And that's what you have experience with, and that is especially true in eventing. There's two sports where that I'd say that is at the highest level, and that's eventing and endurance. And that's partly because, you know, these people are trying not to die out there. So they sort of have to work together, you know, for the benefit of the whole sport and their own bodies. Do you find it tough, Jamal? I had a tough time sometimes watching my wife do the cross country course. You know, I cringed and closed my eyes a few times. Do you have that problem?
Absolutely. I mean, there are some times where I can't make it because of work. And usually those are the times when I receive a phone call from someone else. And, you know, the horse that she's currently on, Junior Juice, sent her to the hospital, I think, 3 times so far. And, you know, when we first started dating, that's where I got a phone call. It couldn't take me very long to get up there to her, but, you know, she turned out being fine. But I think that's the one part that I don't look forward to, you know. But, you know, like I said, it is what it is. She enjoys doing what she's doing, and can't can't take that away from somebody, even with the risk. It makes you feel good when you're doing
that. You know, there's one thing I always tell Michelle and all her students, usually before they go out on a cross-country course, is that we know gravity works. We don't have to test that theory.
It's always good to keep the horse between you and the ground.
Absolutely.
Hurts a lot less. We've all experienced that in person too.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I think that what you said, Jamal, is so true. And you know, my wife has broken every bone in her body at least once, and I've seen her do that a couple times. And it doesn't get any easier for us as husbands to watch that, whether it's your wife or your kid. And I don't know if you've experienced that so much with what Julie does. Have you?
Oh yeah, she's broke a lot of colts, you know.
Oh, that's right.
And, so in fact, watching her on a young horse, you know, it can be a little nerve wracking, you know, because sometimes I'd be sitting there at the round pen, kind of watching, and I've seen her get bucked off, and I've seen her get kicked out of the stall, and you know, she's a heck of a lot tougher than I am.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. Mine is too. I'm a wimp compared to her.
Yeah, I mean, there's no comparison. So,
mention all the medications and things they'll be able to whip out of the tack trunk to be able to put on bruises and sprains and scrapes and cuts and.
Oh, exactly.
Come home all wrapped up in vet wrap, trying to figure out what happened to them.
And the horses will be gushing blood, and I'll be like passing out, and she's over there just taking care of it, you know. But yet, if a human gets hurt, they all run for the hills.
Oh yeah,
that's true too.
Yep.
So, anybody can jump in here. Does anybody have what's the most embarrassing thing that's happened, or the funny stories that you have from your years being around the horses and the wives? This is the one that's going to send you to divorce court. So,
yeah, I've got plenty of material if you guys want to hear this.
Oh, sure.
When I when I first met Holly and, you know, started courting her. Yes, I said courting in 2005.
And we're not going to argue because you're a Marine with guns. So you can court her all you want.
She was in the arena training Jenny Brannigan at the time. And, you know, at a certain point, she would say the word ho, like, ho. And I'm thinking she's calling her a ho, you know. Because of her friends, you know, she did such a good job. She's like, you ho. But she was saying ho. And then, of course, I realized what that was. I felt like a bit of a fool, but, you know, that was.
You really were a Marine.
Jarhead, Jireen, yeah, I've heard it all. So, yeah. I sort of figured after about the, you know, fourth or fifth time she wasn't, you know, being rude to her or anything. So, you know, it was pretty funny.
And just to come to Jenny Brannigan's defense, she is anything but that. So.
Absolutely not. She's a fantastic equestrian.
Yeah, she's actually co-hosts the Eventing Radio show that we do on the network with us as well. So she's a good kid. So anybody else have some funny ones?
Well, I don't know how funny it was, but I guess it was funny later, but. My friend, when I was actually courting Julie too, and I went down to her place, and there was about 5-6 head of horses in this one pen, and I was standing in the alleyway, so she decided she would run them right towards me. And now I didn't know that she had done it on purpose. My friend that was with me told me later that she ran down in the alleyway on purpose. Just to see what I would do. He was going, why'd you do that? And she said, just to see how he would react.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Of course, you know what I did. I mean, a leap over the fence like I was being chased by a bull. But so anyway, I thought that was kind of funny later to hear that.
Wow, she's tough.
Yeah, I know. You know, she likes to test me. Well. And that was the first one, apparently, to see if I was worthy.
So did you send her to the worst slope possible on her first time out to see if she's worthy?
Hey, I like to try and pay her back when I can, you know. Get her out there when it's on me. So.
Rick, anything for Louisiana that you care to tell about Michelle or the...
I'm trying to think of something offhand that would be PG.
Well, it could be edited out, I think.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Actually, nothing really comes to mind. You know, I mean, it's always, every time you go to a show or any time you get an event, and I mean, with us, usually there's a gaggle of girls that are going to a show. I mean, we'll usually have, you know, four or five girls along with Michelle, and we've got horses in tow, and there's, you know, horse paraphernalia everywhere, and everybody's wearing, you know, fuzzy muck boots and these weird, just galoshes type shit. I mean, it's always fun. Somebody's forgetting something. Somebody's not doing something right. And Michelle runs a very, very tight ship. So, you know, we do have a lot of fun, and there's a lot of small little stories, I guess, or little things, but yeah, nothing that really comes to mind. We just usually try to make the shows a lot of fun. And, you know, I'm usually out there with my camera taking pictures of all the girls at the shows, and, you know, so we can have some fun with some of the pictures afterwards. But, you know, it's just always fun. You know, that's what we really try to make every event we go to.
Well, that's cool. And that's that was, you know, one of my favorite times. I'm going to get a little sappy here. One of my favorite times in the barn, actually, was after, well, this is a guy's favorite time anyway, is after you're all done and you're closing up the barn and you hear all the horses eating at night. It's dark and all you hear is the horses eating and they're all happy. And that was always my favorite time. Now, that could be because beer was shortly after that.
Yeah. I meant you were done with everything.
Exactly. Beer, the recliner. Warm house.
Right. You're telling me you snuck the beer in the barn too?
I've never done that.
Never.
Jamal's drinking now, I think.
Yeah. No comment.
Yeah. Just to relax, you know, for the show.
You know, we visited last year with a couple of things that I called truisms about most horsewomen. There's a couple that I think we have to revisit again because I just think they're so true. And it's something that we should take a look at every year. And one of the biggest ones is that they have to keep the barn spotless but could care less about the house. Is that pretty much true with you guys?
You're really trying to
get me in trouble. Do I dare
say that? Yeah.
That's true.
Now, do any of your wives cook? Because that's another one. They don't cook much.
Does can of soup and ramen noodles count?
That's my wife too, right there. That's she can make
and
meatloaf. Jamal, I don't see Holly cooking very much.
Yeah. But Julie's,
you know, Holly's
not any food in the house because I don't go to the store when she's gone and end up eating out a lot.
And actually, if I had to wait for Michelle to cook since she gets home at 7 or 8 o'clock at night, we'd be eating at 10 o'clock every night. So there's just no absolute way that she can do that.
Yeah, so we've all learned to become cooks, too. Yeah, that's true.
Absolutely.
And Jamal,
yeah,
I don't
Holly
see...
Does...
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. Well, yeah, Holly does her fair share, but, you know, by the time she gets home, she's, you know, gone, of course, before the sun rises. You know, right now, it's about almost 6 o'clock, so she's been at the barn for about 13 hours now. So by the time she gets home, just trying to get ready for the next day, so we try and split that duty, but I'm the house husband, so that's part of my official duties. And I do that well, I must say. Thank you.
And nobody better argue.
Otherwise, they don't get cred.
And, you know, one of the other ones I had here is they have secret credit cards. I was in the retail business for a long time, and I cannot tell you how many of these women had credit cards. They'd come up, and they'd say, oh, I got to use this card because my husband doesn't know about them. Have you ever caught them with their secret credit cards?
No, no, I'll tell you the secret to success. You just stay the heck out of it. I just my check gets direct deposited, and I just don't care.
That's probably a good policy. Okay.
Yeah, I think it is, too. Horse laundry, okay. Horse laundry in the washer with horse hair everywhere. That one drives me nuts. Because you go to put your wash in after they wash the saddle pads and stuff, and you always come out with your nice dress shirt covered in horse hair. That one always drove me nuts.
I've got extra parts for my washer sitting in my laundry room now. Tried to wash a horse blanket in a regular washing machine.
Right.
Does not like it.
That's true. And the other thing that always bothered me, too, when we had our big farm, we had about 20 horses and a lot of boarders and not a lot of help. So it was pretty much the two of us, is the holidays, because you never, it's what you said, Rick, you never get a day off. It just is always there.
No matter rain, shine, sleet, snow, holiday or whatever, horses have to get fed twice a day.
Yep.
And that's the priority, especially, you know, as you know, if you're running a boarding facility. You know, you're not just taking care of your horses, but you're taking care of others' horses. And kind of like I mentioned earlier with Michelle running a very tight ship, I mean, not only do they have to get fed twice a day, but they get fed on time, which is another very important thing.
And I know Michelle, Holly's about, what, 5'3", 5'4"? She's not a real big girl. She's not real tall.
No, she's not. She's about 5'3".
Yeah, Michelle's Rick's wife's even shorter than that, I think.
No, I think Michelle's about 5'3", 5'4".
Is she?
That's about right.
But they're little firecrackers, both of them.
Oh, absolutely. And they've got big
horns. Yeah.
There's a reason Jamal owns guns.
I have to protect myself.
Exactly. Because Holly's wicked. Well, guys, I have to do a short commercial break here, and we'll be right back to finish up talking about our wives and what it's like to be horse husbands. First, we have to mention Equestrian Collections. Equestrian Collections does carry tons of men's stuff. They actually have one of the largest selections of men's items that I've seen at any retailer. They have show and casual apparel, riding boots, thermal gear, gloves, jackets. They pretty much can cover men from head to toe, and men's stuff is hard to find. Anybody that's competed in any form, really, in the English side especially, you'll know that if you have very few selections when it comes to men's riding clothing, well, they have tons of it over at Equestrian Collections. You can just stop over to equestriancollections.com, click on the men's tab at the top there, and you'll see all of the different hundreds of products that they do have. And they have a special now for everybody that's listening to the Horse Radio Network. You just put in Horse Radio, all one word, in the coupon code at checkout, and you'll get $10 off your next order of $120 or more. That's the coupon code Horse Radio, all one word, at checkout to get that $10 off your next order of $120 or more at equestriancollections.com. And we thank them for their continued support of the Stable Scoop Radio Show. Well, guys, so if you're gonna send a message now to the guys who are dating horse girls who aren't married yet, what would it be?
Oh, I got a good one for you.
Okay.
When you get married, you're a groom. When you say I do, you're a groom forever.
That's pretty much true. That's pretty much true. You know, one thing we didn't talk about in last year's Horse Husbands episode is we actually didn't talk about the sexual side of being a horse husband, and we can't go into that too much, but let's just say the horses come first, pretty much.
Absolutely.
I think that's all we really have to say about that.
Well, I'm not sure I want to get into that. Because we all know about horses, right?
That's not quite what I meant there, Rich. But,
well, I always used to ask all the guys, like, you know, it's me and Hank are hanging off a cliff, and, you know, I'm hanging off on my hand, and I'm slipping, and he's hanging on by his hook, and he's looking at you with those doughy eyes. Who would you choose? Of course, he said, you don't want the answer to that.
Exactly.
Just like the Bud Light commercial.
And you know what? I got, you know, for you guys that are boyfriends and you're dating, and the horse girl says to you, don't ever say it's me or the horse, they mean it, because you'll be out.
Well, Glenn, let's put it this way, Glenn. My horses get chiropractic work, they get acupuncture, they get massage. Now, I think I've had acupuncture once. I've never had massage and never had chiropractic work.
That's true. And you don't get your feet shod every 6 weeks either, do you?
No, and when I buy shoes, it's not $175 a pop either.
That's true.
Every 6 weeks.
That's true. And their doctor visits cost a lot more than ours, too.
Yeah, especially since we fly one from Colorado sometimes. But yeah, that can happen. But, you know, they're athletes, and you got to take care of them like they're athletes.
Now, there are some good sides of being horse husbands, and I think we've actually touched on more of those than we did last year, actually. I think we've kept our marriages intact here this year. So if you have a parting thing you want to say about being a horse husband or advice to those young boyfriends coming into it, what would it be?
Where to start?
I got just make sure that they travel to some great places. I mean, you know, we usually get an annual trip to Hawaii, and you know, that works out pretty good. And some great spots out there, you know, that she travels to. So, and maybe you guys, Jamal, has the same thing, but that's kind of nice. I'm not sure it's real common, but I'm lucky in that respect.
So when Julie goes to Alaska, you don't go along, and when she goes to Hawaii, you do? Is that pretty much it?
You got it.
Jamal, do you travel with her a lot?
Absolutely, especially internationally. That's always the most fun, and that's what I was going to say. You know, my advice would be travel, have fun while you're there, be flexible because, you know, stuff happens, so... But yeah, I do a lot of traveling with her up and down the coast here. But, you know, like I said, with work and all, it's kind of hard to get away. But I do go as much as I can. And yeah, I always have a great time because everyone there is so supportive of each other. And, you know, if you're out there and you're cleaning up or doing whatever, I guarantee you there's going to be a husband there or a boyfriend or somebody that you commiserate with. So you're not alone. So, yeah, just look for the guy that looks lost. Or beat up.
Exactly.
Yeah, or holding your raincoat.
Well, you know, and I would also say last week we talked about in the Valentine's episode, there's an age-old question, is it better for a horse woman to marry a horsey guy or a non-horsey guy? And I think we've proved that we have four of us here who are non-horsey guys that converted. So I would say that can go both ways. You can be a non-horsey guy, and I think as long as you love her and you know what you're getting into before you get into it, then you can adapt and it can become, the horse thing becomes part of your lives. And obviously that's the case with all of us here.
Well, Glenn, anybody, any trainer will tell you it's easier to train the first time than it is to retrain later.
That's true. That's true when you think about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure you know what you're getting into, but you know, you figure it out pretty quick.
I don't think you realize the extent of which you're getting into it. That you,
exactly.
You know, even if you've dated for a year or two, you know, I just don't think you understand till you get married and you're in it for a year or two to the extent and how all-consuming it is.
It's not like putting the golf clubs up in the closet.
Right. Right. The darn horses just don't like to go in the closet.
No, they don't.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate you being on with me today, and we'll make sure the wives don't listen to this. We just won't let them know when it airs. For everybody else, stay tuned for next week as Helena will be back, actually with my wife, and Debbie Laux, who is Monty Roberts' daughter, will be on. Plus, somebody you know, Jamal, Jessica Phoenix, will be on talking about, they'll all be talking about what it's like to be horse wives. So, and I know you know Jessica, and I think that she's also an eventer from Canada, and she's a real sweetheart as well. So they'll all be back. You can find our show notes at stablescoop.com, and you can also follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio, and you can also find us on Facebook. Just search for Stable Scoop. And of course, Julie Goodnight can be found at juliegoodnight.com, and she has a great website over there to check it out. She does a lot of good work, and her schedule on there for touring, I believe, is up there. I just checked the other day, so I think that's updated now, isn't it? Yeah, okay, good. Jamal, you can find Holly Bennett at hollybennetteventing.com. That's H-A-W-L-E-Y at bennetteventing.com. And, of course, you can find Rick down there in Louisiana at rightlead.com. And that's a great website about their farm as well. So, well, thank you, gentlemen. I really appreciate you being on. Everybody check back next week as the Desperate Horsewives episode will be here. And, hey, hang in there, guys. That's all I can say. Just hang in there, because as horse husbands, that's what we do.
Thanks.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Thanks, Glenn. Take care. Good night.
Well, thank you, guys. That was great.